So essentially, I went out and I did.
Wait, hold on, real quick, Larry.
Oh, good. Nigga back in wrestling business and shit. I think he's getting his ass whooped right there. Can't confirm or deny it just yet. That don't sound good for the boy. It's really ironic because the birds are chirping and shit. Imagine getting your ass whooped and the birds is just out there just tweet-a-lee-tweet-a-lee-tweet. Ain't that some shit? That's one hell of a way to get your ass whooped.
Yeah, my fault. You said what?
You'll catch it on the playback.
What is this?
It's 26 degrees.
What up? Welcome to another episode of 26 Degrees. It's your boy Larry here on a special Sunday. Not hungover like people might think I am from the timeline. I don't really get hangovers. It's very rare for me. So people are always shocked too. They'd be like, "You straight?" The next day I'm like, "Oh yeah, I'm fine, cuz. This is what I do. This ain't shit. This was just another day. Another day in the life." So yeah, here back as usual with my compadres, man. I'll let y'all boy go ahead and holler in real quick. Meezy, say what's up to the people, man.
Man, what's up, y'all? 26 degrees, recording for the first time on a Sunday, a lovely Sunday at that, man. I'm cooling, man. X, the field general himself, was good.
Nothing chilling, man. Sunday morning. Still a little tired from this weekend, but I'm good. What's happening?
I saw you lit last night.
Man, I went to sleep early, and then I got up around 12. Then when I got up, I was late to this get-together. As I'm riding to the get-together, man, I'm like, why do I want to go get some ice cream? I don't know. I just wanted to get some ice cream. Then it was cool, so that was strange, but... Yeah, I've been going hard.
I was like, the hell?
Yeah, man, I've been going hard all week since Thursday, man. My homeboy laid his father to rest on Saturday. So, we just been together, man, drinking, vibing with a bunch of the homies from back in the days.
That's real.
That's always the good part, of death is it do bring us together.
Unfortunately,
you don't want to always, you'd rather not get together under those circumstances, but it's always cool kicking it with your people, man. Especially the ones you just ain't really had the time to just link up and just vibe with for a while, right, man. So
that's it right there, man. It's like a bunch of them I haven't seen in years. Even some of them left. They don't live in Miami no more. So just to come back, man, reminisce on good times. And the crazy part about it is I'm the youngest one. Because they all like my brother in them age, but I was always hanging around the older guys. So they started telling stories about, little X. And I'm like, oh, here we go. That's how it pick on me and stuff. But
that's how I was too, though. My older brother, like, he got a different mom. So, we ain't live together. So, like, when I was like 10, 11, I was hanging out with like the 16, 17 year old, bro. I ain't had no business with them boys, but I was, man. Them boys exposed me to some shit. It sheltered me from a little bit of it, but I done been in stolen cars and shit like a goofball. Just dumb shit, man. Yeah, just riding around with the older homies, man. Shout out to Crossroad Villa. That's where I grew up at.
How did you enjoy your trip to the circus this weekend?
listen. I enjoyed myself a lot for about 6-7 hours, and after that, I was gone. I was So long story short, on my way down, I got on the road early. So I got on the road at like 5 a.m. It was like 6 o'clock. So I hit the road and I pop a sinus pill because I was like just going through a lot of just sinus congestion and shit. So pull up to the tailgate. We go to the crib. I have a couple of beers at the crib. Pull up to the tailgate around 12 something. And then now I'm on Four Roses. Then I switched over to the Hen. I meant to take a picture and shoot it out to you. I was like, ah, look at your boy on Hen. I don't be drinking Henny like that.
Yeah, I remember you said that.
It was good though. I mean, I will drink Henny, don't get me wrong, but I'm not a big cognac guy, but
I'm sipping Henny right now.
Yeah, that was you on. I'm on some bullshit tequila. So I made a margarita out of it. Otherwise, I like to sip my tequila kind of like normally straight. But yeah, there's some bullshit here.
Yeah, I ain't started my sipping yet. I'm chill. I just finished making some seafood gumbo.
Ooh.
I'm taking around my sister crib later, man. And then, you know, we'll vibe up on Sunday.
Look at X with the pot gang whipping.
What? Man, gotta learn how to cook sometimes.
You ain't lying. That's crazy because I remember they had that little like dumb debate about like buying a little boy a kitchen set. And I'm like, well, who the hell is supposed to cook? You better teach your sons how to cook.
Yeah, man. Because
yeah, I enjoy cooking, man. I ain't gonna
days
lie.
Women don't cook often. You know what I'm saying? They would rather you spend money going out to eat.
Going out, yeah.
You know, you remember they used to have the little Twitter chats about $200 dates and $300 days. Like, man, I could go get some $300 groceries.
Man,
you dated that for a week and a half.
Yeah, you know,
right at the crib.
But you know, I look, man. When you got to eat, you got to eat, man. Sometimes you don't want to be out. You want to eat in the comfort of your home. So, man, cook you some food.
Man, it's so expensive if you don't know how to cook, especially if you with somebody and neither of y'all know how to cook. That's crazy.
Yeah, man.
Bullshit.
That's true.
That DoorDash, bro. Everybody who ever used DoorDash will tell you, bro, you're going to pay $20 for a $10 sub, man.
Right.
$10 for a sub already high enough. So you end up paying $22, $23 for a damn sandwich.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's like, bro, I can't be this lazy. But they all, like people say, you're going to pay to be lazy. So it's up to you.
Yeah, that's for damn sure. You're going to pay to be lazy, man.
You're going to be lazy. It's going to cost you. So. But anyways, yeah, I got out the yak and some bourbon, and I was out there vibing, man. Y'all saw me on the timeline grooving and moving and whatnot. You know, a little two-step.
Having you a good time, man. Having you a good time.
Absolutely. They told me, hide your auntie. Don't hide her. Tell her, come on out. Tell her, come kick it with the guys. Don't hide shit. Tell Lane having a great time. He giving out liquor to people who ain't paid for the tailgate. Shit, come on. We got plenty of it. Might as well. Yeah. Fuck it. If you fine, come get you a cup real quick. You know what I mean?
And, how's the turnout?
Turnout was all right. Turnout was okay. I mean, it's a spring game, so even they turn out, you know. It was pretty light for them, actually, because we stayed up to the gate now. Unless, I have to see the video. It wasn't like a real big influx of a crowd, and we stayed like right to the game was getting ready to kick off. Which I think was 5. I think was the kickoff, something like that.
Yeah.
Then after that, cause they put me in the van. I got in the van with them boys. Man, I slept in the van for about a good 5 hours. Then I got up and went in the house. I must have slept like another 2 hours, and then I hit the road, man. I hit the road and came on back home. So I just got back home early this morning, so we could do this, man. Absolutely. Yeah, y'all another episode. How was your week, Mia?
Man, my week was good. So yesterday I had to go get – so I work in D.C., and so you have to have, like, your vaccine shots and your boosters. So I had to go get my booster yesterday. I'm hurting like hell, though. Right now, I don't understand why that is. And I slept
That's
on
normal.
The arm. Yeah, I slept on the arm too that I got the shot on. My arm was hurting like hell this morning. It kind of knocked me out last night. But yeah, I did that yesterday. I'm on spring break, so I got a whole week off.
Nice.
You know what I'm saying? So I'm cool and excited about that. Yeah, I've been chilling though. I can't complain. Can't complain.
That's what's up.
Everything good in the world.
And we that's what I was gonna say at the top of the show. So shout out Maul. Maul not here with us today. Maul is actually down in South Florida, or maybe heading back. I'm not sure exactly how he planned it out, but Maul had his wedding. He's already married, but they decided to push the wedding back.
Yeah, last night. Things.
he was out doing his thing, man. So congratulations to him and the missus and the family members that got to celebrate with him. My boy was looking dapper.
He was clean.
Yeah, the boy was cleaned up nice, man.
He said seven cup of Hennessy.
Yeah. I was gone by then. I ain't see none of this shit till I woke up. Yeah, 9 o'clock. Oh, yeah, I was good knocked out. I woke up, man. I seen all them tweet notifications and shit. I said, oh goddamn, what I done did now, right? Then I saw it, I was like, oh shit, yeah.
Hey, but listen, when I seen the video of you dancing, I said, yeah, man, he gonna probably wake up and he gonna have like 1,000 notifications.
Yeah. A two-step. Hey, man. Yeah, you're supposed to have a good time. Shit.
Man, that's what it is. You're supposed to enjoy yourself in life, man.
Goddamn.
Even if you're going to a rivalry, tailgate, whatever, man. Enjoy yourself. Have you some fun.
Let me tell y'all something. That Miami shit just attract them chicks. I literally... All right, I had relations with Florida State girls. I'll put it that way. Oh, man.
No gummies this time?
No gummies. You don't need no gummies when you're on some sinus medicine and liquor. It'll gummy your ass right out of
there. That's enough. That's enough right there.
You'll still be asleep,
man. Man, that shit put me on my back. I was gone with it, man. But great time. I hate that we couldn't do the Miami thing because it just got lined up wrong. But X doing something.
I got
X got something that you doing something Friday and Saturday or just Friday?
No, just Friday. Just Friday. Cause Saturday the media schedule is gonna be tight. I don't even know if I'm gonna be able to tailgate because the media's test schedule is gonna be so tight. Well, we might have to be inside the stadium at 10. So that's like, man, how the hell you gonna tailgate if we get there at 9? That's like an hour, you know what I'm saying? So, but yeah, we doing something Friday night.
They gonna let fans tailgate?
Yeah. They gonna let fans tailgate. Gonna let them tailgate. I think the gates open at 9 a.m. So, if you haven't gotten that parking pass yet, you better get it now because you can't even enter inside. Without that pass.
They say it's going to be the biggest, largest turnout in a long time for Miami Spring Game.
Yeah, I mean, as of now, they're saying it's like 18,000 tickets already sold. So, most likely.
I thought that place only held like 16.
It holds 22. It holds 22,000.
Oh, okay, cool. And the ticket's free. So, all you got to do is pick them up. The only reason I'm not going to make the move is... I spent a lot of money last year, bro. So this year, I say I'm only moving for the money. If it don't pay me, I can't be there, bro. Just right now, it's just too much.
Wait, you said the Miami Spring Game tickets was free?
Yeah, they're free.
You just got to reserve them.
Yeah, that's it.
Hey, you got a link? You got a link for your Friday night thing or whatever?
Yeah. It's on the Caneville page. It should be in the pen right there. And then that one is ladies free. And if you get a ticket, it's pre-ticket now, it's $15. If you come to the door, it's gonna be $25. So,
okay, so y'all pull up, man, vibe out that evening.
Yeah, food, drinks.
I know it's gonna be swinging.
I got two dudes who are gonna be doing one of the dudes, he does tattoos. So you come and get a tattoo if you want to, but they draw a bunch of pictures. They got cane stuff, dolphin stuff. Stuff with rappers in it. They're gonna be selling and stuff like that. I'm gonna probably give out some free Caneville shirts. I'm doing some trivia questions and stuff like that. So just pull up, man. We'll have some fun. And then it's right behind Tootsie. So you already know what that means.
After the party, it's the after party.
Yes, sir.
It's a whole line for everything, right?
Yes, sir, man. Always
got your whole line. So that's what's up. Yeah. So y'all pull up. Y'all y'all check X out over there. Y'all make sure y'all checking out Footballville, man. They got a dope platform over there. You know, boys on YouTube for, you know, you all who like to enjoy a good YouTube video. I know it's a lot of people that that's their preferred platform. They like visuals to go with it as well. So, yeah, check them boys out over there. And that's about it right now. I guess we'll get into what we got going on with the program right now. One of the things on kind of top of the list is we're hearing about some facility upgrades. You know, although they've already done quite a bit, to my understanding, there's been quite a few.
And they haven't, they haven't even like cracked the. They ain't started. It's just
they ain't scratched the surface yet.
Yeah, they think it might be like the best facility in like college football.
It is finna be ridiculous, man. Okay, so what they're doing is they're going to add on to the IPF, some extra space that they're going to. It's a head building. They're going to probably tear that one down and add on. But they, I think they're going to be. Yeah.
Okay.
They're supposed to build like a three, I think a three-story building, if I'm not mistaken, is three-story football facility and the new locker room. I seen a little visual of the locker room. Man, all I'm going to say is, boy. They spend the money. The thing gonna look so good, man.
I did hear about. Go ahead, my fault.
And then they still in talks. The Ruiz family still in talks with trying to do the stadium. So if all that comes in play, just say by 2025, we're gonna have a top 10, maybe even higher, facilities and stadium.
I love it. Love to hear it.
Well, the stadium, if they do the stadium going to be probably the best in the nation because nobody's going to have a state of art stadium like that. So
that'd be so fire, bro. Like,
what do you think the chances is that we get a stadium?
At first, I was doubtful. But then just for the city of Miami to make money, it's their best solution to add that stadium. Cause it's just they just in the area. There's nothing is there besides, okay. Well, we got to have like special events there.
Right.
Opposed to we got a stadium, but you could have concerts there all year. Right. Other stuff for high schools. You could still have stuff doing it all year, and it's constantly getting money revenue.
Yeah, I like it to have like if we are able to get it done. I know you know finding the area was number one. You know that's always. Tough in a place like Miami because it's so built up. But man, if we can get a retractable roof, that should be fire, bro.
I think that was the plan.
We got to let them feel that heat. You know what I'm saying? On game day, right. That's one of our advantages. So you gotta feel that heat. And then yeah, if they smart with it, like you saying, then you're building a venue that you can use all year. And then that's just money to roll in. You can use that venue for you know, some shows and stuff, man. You make it like a nice 55,000 seater, something like that. It'll bring that crowd noise.
I think 66 between 60, 65 if you add extra seats like for big games.
For some big games.
That's all we need, man. The Orange Bowl was it.
It's about the same. I think it was about 70 something,
75.
I didn't think it was that big.
Yeah, I thought it was like 60.
Yeah, I think it was 60.
Okay, yeah. So I mean, something like that around
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
town,
something in that neighborhood. Yeah, something in that.
Yeah, like you don't need nothing that big. And the crazy part is everybody always talking about why we don't have our own stadium. I'm like, well, we only got like 14,000 students. So
right,
even if every student go to the game,
you still
gotta have
one. That's only one fifth. Other four fifths got to be you know people in the city. You know, so. That joke is always like, I'm like, bro, that's the driest joke on earth. Y'all know that, right?
Because at the end of the day, the game's still gonna be played.
Yeah. Oh no, you're right, X. It was 72,000.
Yeah, 72,000. That's what I'm saying. Like, hey, it's, and
I think you know what it was. I think we used to consistently get about 55-60. Is what it was. Yeah, that was your during the peak. That was kind of like our normal attendance.
Yeah.
It wasn't even sold out, but it was still rocking all the time.
Yeah, right. part of the design. I mean, it was closed down, you know, so that noise would pour into the field. But that's what I think. Like, that's why I say that troll's so weak, is because, okay, do you realize that what Miami had accomplished is amazing, considering they're a small private school?
I don't think people understand how many students.
Right, like, oh, yeah. They got national titles and a like I said, 14,000 students. That's it, right? They got national titles in football and baseball. Y'all comparing yourselves to somebody that your student enrollment is 10 times as. You respect what I done. Respect what they've done over there, man. Are you kidding me? You wouldn't do that. You couldn't do that. So that shit weak to me anyways. I'd be like, shut up.
Yeah, it's a silly comment, because we never had our own stadium.
Right.
The Orange Bowl wasn't even UM Stadium. We just played there. So I'm like, what is y'all like? What's the comment? Like, I never understood the argument. We don't have our own stadium. Technically, y'all don't own y'all stadium either. It's owned by the state. But they don't want to get into that conversation.
Right. Right. But yeah, what it is. Anyways,
the facility is going to be, man, they're going to be so good. The whole school, man, it's like they're doing a lot of new stuff around the whole university. So they serious about football. They serious about sports all in general, not just football. They serious about sports now. So but a lot of changes are being made.
And before I say 10 times, I was being silly. So don't nobody hit me with the actual facts. I know it's like 3 times. Like UF, I think, like 35,000, 40,000 students, something like that. Don't hit me with actual facts. Just joking. Motherfucker can hit you with the real. All right, motherfucker, I was playing. So, yeah, that's something we're looking forward to. I do believe with the influx of money, I think, you know, and I know as Miami fans, we're very skeptical because we've been in this cycle forever, but y'all got to kind of let some of that go, let some of that PTSD go, because these were demands that had to be met for Mario to come here. We're literally paying our head coach twice as much as we've ever paid any coach. So, I mean, if that doesn't show you a new commitment and a new focus, I don't know what will. So, start feeling good, man. Quit living in the past. Like, let it go.
A lot of this is hard to believe for Miami.
Yeah, but you know us Miami people, man. We on that, man. We want to see the action. You know what I'm saying? We get hyped when things happen. I mean, when the talk is there, but then we still wait for that action. You know what I'm saying? And then, like you say, man, we have been in this scenario for so long. It's like, yeah, we heard.
Right. Yeah, but see, the thing is, and that's why I'm giving them action. Just think about the staff we hire. Look how much money we spend on staff. That's never happened in Miami before.
Yeah, we got like a million coaches now.
Yeah, you got all these additional off-field positions. We got, if not the highest, probably the second highest payroll for assistants in the ACC. Maybe Clemson. I think it was supposed to be the highest. Yeah, I know. And I don't know what's going on with Clemson. Did they get all these spots filled over there?
Yeah, but I don't, like, you know,
they ain't tossing around no big money though.
Ours isn't public, so we can't. I don't know. I know they say we are the highest ACC, but I don't know publicly.
Yeah, because they don't unveil all that. So I mean, those are the things I'm like, y'all talk about. Let's see it. That's it. That you ain't never saw this before. Now the football itself, don't get too hyped. The man just got here. He's got to get the guys he needs to get in here. We got to get way nastier in the trenches. I mean, that's just bottom line. When you watch the top programs in this country, your Ohio State, your Alabama's, Georgia's, it all starts up front. It's the trenches, man. So give them some time to get those guys in there. And, you know, skill position ain't nothing. You're going to trip over them in South Florida. So he's going to get that regardless. His real work is going to be pulling in some of them trench bullies. That's not necessarily our bread and butter. We got good defensive ends, but that interior is where you usually – that's not usually where you're going to eat the most down south. But down in South Florida, you got to get some of the boys up out of Georgia, Texas, things of that nature. Give them a little time. Things are going to improve. I honestly, truly believe that for the first time in forever. Because if you would have asked me off mic, let's say last year in the Manny area era, if you would have asked me, man, is Miami ever going to be back? I'd have told you no. I was like, nah, we ain't going to do it, man. We're just not playing big boy ball, which is that was the truth. Like, if you're not going to spend the money, you're just not going to. It's an arms race now. The old days is past. If you're going to compete, you got to spend that bread. And now that we're spending bread, I tell people, oh, yeah, we're going to get us another one. We'll get us a few more right. with Mario.
I thought after that Michigan State game, I didn't want to, like, admit it to myself, but I was like, man, this might be dead.
It was.
Yeah, I was like, it might be dead, man.
It was dead. You got to spend the money, man. And that the old times of we could just get it done for the cheap is over with. It's over with. And that's not just our program. Florida kind of suffered with that same thing, even though they spend more, but they still were trying to do a lot of things for the cheap as well.
I mean, okay, so I you know, talking to Florida Gators and Seminoles, I think the situation between the big three always was that we just have so much talent within the state. So we felt like we didn't have to do as much as others.
Right.
Like kids growing up in the state should go to the schools in the state. Then you have their parents that went to them schools. So it should have been easier for a decision to be made. But these other schools are doing things that, you know, the kids say, hey, man, I want to go over here because they ain't doing it over there.
Right. Them top dogs started leaving the state.
You know what I'm saying? So that's just we got too comfortable with the fact that we had the talent. You know what I'm saying? That we just let other schools come in and just dip.
Yeah, after a while, you bringing them over to see the school, and then them boys slide on over to Bama, which nobody wants to live in Tuscaloosa, bro. But they got a lot of shiny things over there, you know what I mean? A lot of bells and whistles, and I'm 18, and I know they win the titles, and I know they putting guys in the league because of the talent acquisition that they've been able to accumulate. That's all we got to do. But the things that's going to help get these kids in, they're going to have to feel like they can be coached soundly, developed to the next level. And they're going to want some bells and whistles, you know. And we got some. Man. We just got to improve some. That's all. We brought in, you know, Leonard Taylor with what we got. You know what I mean? And that go to show you. There's kids that want to be here, that want to stay home. But you got to be able to compete with the big dogs and make
them. You got
to
coach them up too. You can get the talent.
Yeah, we got to be right. We got to develop them and make, you know, we can't have, let's say a guy like, let's say a guy like 26, right? He moved on. God bless him. I hope he does well. But Nick Saban flew in to see Buddy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he ended up, you know, his career here was definitely marred. He wasn't developed to the level I think he probably could have been. Nick Saban don't want no bums, man. He's got a fresh start. He's got a fresh start out there. And that hopefully
Utah State, right?
Yes, sir.
He went out to Utah State.
He wanted to hang out with Banda, so
with his former coach.
Yeah. And you know, and Banda has some pretty good success back there. So hopefully that could give him everything you need. You know, because those guys were, you know, Red Wine still in the league, Jaquan Johnson, who else Bandit was around?
Artie Burns.
Yeah, Artie.
I don't know if Bandit coached Burns.
Though. No, Burns. Yeah, Burns. No, Artie's before. I'm trying to think. It's another safety. Oh, Rayshon. Didn't he have Rayshon?
Rayshon Jenkins.
Yeah, Rayshon Jenkins still in the league. So he didn't do a bad job back there all in all. So hopefully he could turn that corner. And get things going in the right direction. But so what's going on, man? So we got all the spring practices out for the week.
So we'll bring how many more we have this week? We got three
Tuesday,
more?
Thursday, and yesterday.
Yeah, it's gonna probably be Tuesday and Thursday, and then that's it. And then game on Saturday.
Then the game. Oh, you're talking about this coming week, my bad.
Yeah.
So they'll probably rest up, and then because you got the game Saturday. Yeah, that makes sense. What's the latest buzz, man? I've been hearing wide receiver looking to be a little bit more settled in. The guy that I kind of, you know, when I first heard he was coming on campus, Frank Lassen, I tweeted out, hey, who do you guys want to see and you know, XYZ as far as the receivers. And I said, personally, I'd like to see Lassen, Rashido, and I think I said
Keyshawn Smith.
Smith at that time. Yeah. That was my three. However, some of the latest buzz I'm hearing is obviously Jacoby pretty much locking himself up an outside spot, which is great. The young boy's eating. You know, he's got a fresh set of eyes on him. Yeah, I mean, he got good hands. Like, I'm not shocked that he was able to kind of bully his way to the front, especially with Romello out still. Romello's back, right?
He's back. He's just not active. He's not active.
Okay.
He's back. He's out there working out. He's just not active.
Gotcha.
Does he have like pads on and stuff, or he just
He got pads on. Pretty much everybody besides, I think Elijah Roberts has pads on.
I saw Chaney has pads on too.
And Chaney is it's kind of active. He's active some, but then he's not active because he still has the red non-contact jersey on. But when they go to 7-on-7 drills, he's active. You know what I'm saying? So him and Knighton, man. And Chaney did a run the other day, man. He has a knee brace, but I was like, damn. But Chaney, like, he got faster. I don't know.
Man, I want that kid to get healthy, man.
Man, he has to, man. He's had so much. I think he could be the best running back we had in a while.
To me, I think he's the best. You know what he kind of scares me? Shout out, actually, while we're talking real quick, shout out to Frank Gore. Frank Gore is going to retire with my 49ers. He's going to sign one day and retire. One of the all-time NFL leading rushers, one of the best all-around NFL backs. Argue with your mama is not even questionable to me.
First ballot
Hall of Famer. Frank Gore is probably the best blocking running back that I might have ever seen play the game.
That's a good point. I never heard that.
Ooh, that's. I mean, but I agree. He's man, but
yeah, he might be one of the very best blockers.
The crazy thing is, okay, I'm not even gonna go as far back, but I'm gonna start with Edgerrin James. Since Edgerrin James, each running back was also a good blocker.
Right.
Edgerrin was a good blocker. James Jackson was a good blocker.
Yep.
Clayton Portis, McGahee, Frank Gore, you know what I'm saying? Like, we always had good blocking running back. Right. Who could catch the ball out the backfield and do something.
Yep.
Then we kind of, I don't know how we got away from that.
I think it was the running backs. Those running backs you named were, I feel like, a little bigger maybe. Then like Duke Johnson wasn't a big running back.
Yeah. We started going with like scats. We started trying to get like scat back.
Lamar Miller wasn't a big, you know,
Lamar Miller was just fast.
He
lights out fast.
Right.
Yeah, Lamar just, I think part of blocking too is attitude. You know, like when you playing, you know, and you're running back, especially or a tight end, man, you gotta love that shit.
You gotta
like,
you ever
watch George Kittle, man, I think he like blocking better than he like catching touchdowns.
He loves blocking.
He want to run somebody to the ground. You know, he played at Iowa, so at Iowa, that's what tight ends do more than they really out there to be an extra man on that line, and they're gonna use him somewhat, but yes, an attitude. I think Lamar could have been, because Lamar's not a smaller guy. I just don't, you know, part of his attitude. Part of
he's not that big 6'1", 220 running back. You know what I'm saying?
That's
not his game. His game is speed and finesse. You know what I'm saying? Right, don't expect those type of running backs to block anyway. So,
but I think, because Frank, 5'10",
5'11"?
5'11". 5'11".
Yeah, probably 220.
Frank was a bowling ball.
Right. And that's
Frank's footwork was just excellent. That's what made him. Yeah, his vision and his footwork. That's what made him one of the best. Cause he could get into like a small cut and then just get out of it.
He wasn't fast at all.
Nah, not the fastest. He just had great patience and vision. So he'll see that little crack and he gonna hit that crack and he out of there.
Shout out to Frank, man. And on top of that, to be first ballot, Frank overcame
two major knee surgeries. Yeah,
that's what I and that's what I kind of fear, because I compare Chaney to him, and I'm like, man, but I want him to bust ass for us. You know, I want him to do it now. I don't want him to get to the league and start doing it.
Yeah, but see, even with Chaney, it goes from the leg to the shoulder.
But Chaney, I think he works out. Chaney is a workout horse. Like, he works out a lot.
You think he works out too much?
I'm thinking. Like, sometimes can you overly work your body? I'm thinking, but
I think that's what the problem is.
So he's supposed to do that. You know what I'm saying? But he's a workout. He's a workout animal. So,
well, the thing I think that could get lost in football is a lot of people don't understand when you're talking about playing football. A lot of what you're trying to do is be explosive, more so than you're just trying to be the most powerful individual, right? Like, I watched Patrick Willis work out one time on YouTube or something like that. He doesn't lift a ton of very heavy weights. That's not like the key to him being who he was. Patrick Willis had some of the best feet ever in the game. You're talking about a sideline to sideline beast, just lightning quick and instinctual. So a lot of times people don't really understand. That's why, like, if it was just about that, then all the world's strongest men guys that be out there lifting boulders and shit would all be pro football players, because they pay more than picking the rocks. But they can't move. They don't have the flexibility. So I think what happens sometimes that can get lost in football is a lot of these guys get too tight, and that's where you end up with some of your injuries. You gotta remember, man, you're getting hit all the time. You need that ankle. You need that ankle to be able to roll around nice, not just be tight as a damn, you know, as a drum. You know, that shoulder needs some mobility. Can't just be super strong and super, because then it's just the minute you put some pressure on it, snap. Right. Just like roller coasters bend, right? If they don't bend, the old wooden ones, they don't bend, they break. And then you know, obviously you end up flying off the tracks. Nobody wants that. So, you know, maybe he does need to focus in a little bit more on his flexibility. And we'll see. Hopefully he gets all the way back. But back to White House real quick. X, who would you because I heard Lassen was pushing. Keyshawn is kind of who I've been hearing. He's kind of pushing him. Which is, you know, what you want. I think Frank's on the 1 year deal. And ideally, that's what he's here for. So how's that shaping up a little?
Yeah, Frank is pushing Keyshawn. You can see, like, sometimes Keyshawn will go in with the ones, and then Frank will go in with the ones. So he's definitely pushing him. But the two clear-cut receivers that's just standing out above everybody else is Restrepo and George, Kobe George. They just above everybody right now.
So let me ask a question real quick. Latson, how is he – I asked you before, how's he looking, but does he look like – how does he look to you? Does he look like he could be, like, special, or – does he look like just plug and play?
Well, with his speed, he could be special. He's not making anything that just says he's that special guy. But, like I say, okay, so with Keyshawn Smith, he catches the ball, but then he gets tackled immediately. He don't have the yards after catch.
Wait, who doesn't?
Keyshawn Smith.
See, Larion, I think you and I talked about that. I thought he would have been that kind of wide receiver who gets yards after the catch. But it doesn't seem like he's.
Yeah, no, nah, he's. I mean, that's something he has to work on still. Frank obviously going to have to do that better. But yeah, Jacoby George and Restrepo are the two receivers that's standing out above everybody else. And then they got a lot of options with Rashad Smith. You know, it's going to be fun just watching him on the field, because he's going to be like all over.
So, who are your top three right now?
The top three would be Jacoby George, Restrepo, and Keyshawn Smith.
Will it be that? Do you think? I mean, it's hard to say, but when Romello comes back, do you think it'll stay the same? Because I really wish Romello was.
Well, when Romello comes back, Romello probably be working behind Jacoby George, because you have Keyshawn Smith and Frank Lassen on the other side.
That make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Which is, I mean, that's what you want. That gives you proper depth. I think, you know, Romello, I mean, he understands the game too. He got injured. So you're going to fall behind, period. But, if he can come in and behind Jacoby, I mean, I like it. I like our two deep at that point. Wide receivers a room that I actually think we may end up losing a few guys after spring.
Does the size bother you all at the receiver position?
Say it again, the size?
Yeah, because like Jacoby to be the number one, Jacoby's really like
– I mean, no, because you got – okay, so Frank is like 6'3". Isaiah Horton is going to be – he's like 6'4".
I saw Isaiah Horton on the Cambridge.
Well, Melo is like 6'2.5", so I'm not – I mean, then Redden is a big guy.
Well, I mean players who are
– contributing like right now.
Yeah, I feel like Redding's not – he might be one of those boys who might exit maybe.
I mean, I just think the other receivers are just much better. But like now the ball is thrown Redden way, Redden is going to catch it. I just don't think he has anything better than the other receivers because he don't really get good separation from what I see. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I ain't worried about size.
Yeah, I saw Horton on Cainville. That's a big boy.
Yeah, Horton, I ain't know he's that big.
Yeah, God darn.
He a legit 6'4", right?
Yeah.
Literally. Like 215, 220 already.
Nice.
That's a big
nice.
Boy, solid.
Nice. And yeah, see, that's the thing. That. We get with Keyshawn, because Keyshawn's, what, 6'3 as well, right?
No, Keyshawn like
he about I get 5'11", I say right? six. I say 6'1.5", 6'5".
Okay. I thought he was a little bigger. 5'11". Nah, he ain't that little.
He looks. I think the way his body's set up, he looks a little taller than what he is.
But the good thing is Keyshawn does play bigger than his size.
Right, just, and maybe that's one reason I thought he was a little bit bigger.
Yeah, he does play bigger than his size, but he just don't. It's just the yards after catch for me with him.
Right.
He'll catch the ball. But then get tackled, like you know, his speed should say he's not gonna get tackled. You know what I'm saying? That's what his speed says. But
you know that, like you say, like I said a little bit earlier, part of that's just attitude, dog. Like part of that
that's
is
all
just
all
not
is.
Taking me down, cause like you know, I remember even just playing, you know, outside, man, just playing pickup football, dog. I used to be like, bro, you're not tackling me. It's gonna take like back then. And, you know, I was a young buck, but I was always bigger than a lot of guys. And I used to play like, you know, I used to catch a ball a lot, like a tight end or whatever. I'm like, bro, one man not bringing me down. You're going to have to get one to slow me down and one to bring me down. So it's going to take two of y'all. So a lot of it is just you're not getting me. So you have to have some of that, too, when it comes to that yard after catch beyond some speed. Because some of it, like you say, like if I tap you and you fall – then you just, you know what I mean? You won't have a heart for it. Some of that's just, you got to push through. You got to get the knees high. You got to rip out of some of those arm tackles and just get to cooking on that next level. Like a lot of what you see with like Tyreek Hill, right? Tyreek just so much faster than everybody. When he catch it, he ain't got to worry about breaking no tackle.
He's
not about to catch his ass.
If you don't grab him when he catch the ball, that's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's a wrap. He gone.
Tyreek strong too at the same time.
Yeah, but he don't get touched really. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, once he if Tyreek catch that ball ahead of you, it's good night. Kiss the baby. That's it. Tuck him in. They going for the night. He's just that type of elite, you know, burst and acceleration, man, that you just, you know, I'm anxious to see what he gets done in Miami with this new quarterback. But, he a different breed. So that's okay. That's kind of how I viewed most of the wide receiver position. Again, like I said, I expect a little attrition just because I think we are a little bit talent rich there. Once people get healthy, I think some of the younger guys like a Brinson, like a Breshard Smith, and Jacoby George. You gotta remember these guys are sophomores,
true sophomores,
and they're look to be at least on the two deep. So guys that are in that similar position are going to just be looking for an opportunity to get on the field. Not even saying that these guys aren't talented, but it's a tough fight. And some people going to want to fight it out. Some people going to want to fight it out and get a Miami degree. You know, some of them going to be like, "Now I think I can make it to the next level." It really just depends.
I got a question about that, Larry, on X. So the ones who want to just tough it out and get a Miami degree. With Mario here, because it's more like a business mindset, do you think he will allow that or you just got to get on?
Well, I think the way Mario is doing it, he's letting the kids know, like, okay, well, you know, you still have the opportunity to play here, graduate. But it's other opportunities that present itself as well. You don't have to. You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, Mario wants things done a certain way. You know, and some of the players might not have that what he wants. So he just says, hey, you know, you have the opportunity to go get what you need. You don't have to just sit here and just stay if you don't want to.
I mean, do you think Mario will kind of like force a transfer on someone?
I mean, no coach forces it. Coach might, okay, it's a thing.
I think they kind of.
Now they call it pushing the player out. Well, he's not getting the reps or he's not getting the proper playing time that he wants. So he sees that and he just, hey, man, I'm going to just leave. You know what I'm saying? So it's not like a coach
force. Yeah, I don't think that. Yeah, I was about to say, because I don't think that's new, really. You think about any transfer, even before the transfer portal, you just kind of read the writing on the wall.
I just asked if you want to stick it out and get a Miami degree rather than transfer.
I don't think you will personally. Because this is the thing people do have to realize as well. Even your number three wide receiver on scholarship, he's still helping your team because you got to practice. So even if he's not the best for your game day, if he's a number three wide receiver in a D1 school at the University of Miami, he's still going to be helping us get better.
Right, like scout team, respect.
Yeah, right. Even if he's scout team. So a lot of it, I don't think your coaches will push these guys out by and large. I think these guys make a decision because I think most of them think I could be playing, but I don't have the coach's favor, and I'm a little bit buried. And maybe this guy is a hair better than me, but I still think I can get it, man, if I get that opportunity. So they leave.
Yeah. But with the transfer portal, it's not as easy as you think just leaving and going to another team.
Look at that portal, man.
It's a lot of kids still in there.
I think it's over a thousand kids in that portal right
it's
now.
More it's
kids,
way more than that.
Stuck in the portal, then it gets snatched out of the portal. So why would you go to the portal unless you've been in contact with some teams already, which I think is technically illegal, but that's happening, obviously.
Yeah, it's happening.
It's going to happen, yeah. So if you're talking to another team, you know, let's say our number eight wide receiver right now, you know, he's been there a couple of years. And, you know, he just feels like, hey, I'm not going to crack the rotation here. But, hey, man, I've been hearing from the coaches at UAB. All right, shit, I'll go to Birmingham, man. I'm trying to get to the league, see if I can feed my family. I'm going to go to UAB and go ahead and get out of here. I don't think the coaches are necessarily going to push him because my number eight wide receiver is going to be a starter at UAB, right? So that means he's still definitely helping my team. So I don't think you see a lot of that push. It does happen. Don't get me wrong. We had a guy, I cannot remember the player's name, but he went on Twitter and went on a rant. And he basically was talking about how James Franklin was basically telling him to get the hell on. He had a problem putting on weight. He was a guy, I think he was an edge. And they anticipated him, you know, getting bigger and swelling up or whatever. And I think he said essentially he had dealt with a lot, some mental issues and stress that was kind of keeping him from putting on the type of weight he liked to have. And he did basically go out and say, yeah, they're kicking me out. So I do think that can happen. I don't think that's the norm, though. I think in general, because that's not a good look for you as a coach either.
It depends. I feel like who you are as a coach and what school you're at. Because at the end of the day, if you go to Bama, Georgia, Clemson, it's a business. Ohio State, it's a business.
Yeah, but see, I still look who transfers from those schools. Look who transfers from those schools and look who they transferred to, right? Like, look at that transferred from Ohio State.
Jameson Williams.
Jameson Williams. He went to Bama and started. And
be first
his
round.
Way to a first round until he got injured. He still may end up first round. So I don't think Ohio State kicked him out. Bama just said, hey, we need some speed like yours on the outside. Come on over here. We're gonna let you start. You got a spot if you come on over. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. So I don't think there's a lot of push even from those programs because they're so talent rich that they don't want to lose none of them boys because they know I'm an injury away. I'm a you know, all it takes is one of my best receivers go out here.
That happened with Bama this year in the championship right. game, one injury
and,
away.
And you know what they said? You know what Saban said? The reason that they failed in that opportunity was those guys didn't practice like they could play at any given moment.
Right, they weren't ready.
And that's something, when Miami was great, you would hear that from every guy that was here. Man, I was scared to lose my spot. Man, listen, you out there running, okay, do your thing. Clinton Portis right there behind you now. He ready? He's ready. So you slip and fumble if you want to. He right. got to take your spot, and you may not get it back. So I don't think at the top programs, like you're saying, it's a business. I think at the top programs, I think the competition is so intense that most guys who leave, I don't think they're pushouts. I think most guys who leave are going, all right, Ohio State just called me. They want me to come on over here, get a starting position. I got 2 years left to ball. You know what? Ohio State is a national brand, one of the best brands. They play, you know, they do play in the playoffs. Yeah, I'm gone. I'm gone. So I leave Georgia and go to Ohio State. The transfer that look, the dude just won a national with Georgia and transferred to Bama.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean, so yeah, I don't think that's happening at the top programs because you always want very stiff competition. I think they're so talent rich, no one's getting pushed out. I think they just got too much talent. But I see, think but everybody who leaves, I think everyone who leaves just thinks they can get a better opportunity. I don't think the coaches is like, hey man, I'll be honest with you, you ain't never gonna play here.
But see, we're not talent rich like those programs yet.
Right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, so you're like, saying, but okay, so to answer what you're saying from our perspective,
That's what I get them other programs, but like Miami. Like, you see the transfers we're bringing in, like, Mario bringing the transfers left and right. Like, what if we have, like, a sophomore he sees? Like, linebacker, for instance, like, this kid's never going to play here.
Yeah, but he ain't going to kick him out. I don't think he's kicking.
I don't want to say kick him, yeah.
Getting pushed out is just reality, right? That's just a gut check. It's just a reality check. Hey, if I was good enough, guess what? Coach wouldn't have got no linebacker. You wouldn't have got no linebacker. You say, oh, I got my linebackers. I don't need no linebackers. If I was good enough, they wouldn't have brought no defensive end. So what you better do is beat them out or get pushed down to the end of the depth chart. And then you make that decision. A coach ain't got to do it because it's going to look bad on him because it looks like, okay, you go in these people's living rooms and you say, I'm going to take care of your boy. I'm going to treat him like a son. Then you go, all right, man, you stink. Get out of here. That ain't how you would treat your son. So yeah. A coach ain't have to do that. So if they want to talk about playing time, the coach can say, listen, he's not beating out my number one and my number two. He's just not. If he beats him out, I'm going to give him the plays. But he ain't beating him. So it's not me. Yeah, you got to respect that. You got to say, hey, he's not better than these other guys. He's more than welcome to stay here and compete and beat them. But if he don't, I'm not playing him. I got to win these games. So I don't think you see a ton of that. I think it happens here and there, but I think by and large, even in programs that aren't doing as well as the top programs, I would argue that most of that boils down to just performance, man. If you got it, you got it. Ain't no coach gonna bury, you know, guys that are better unless they prove to be a behavioral issue like the tight end at Bama. He's the best talent, but, you know, Saban was like, oh, bro, you ain't going to dictate how I run my program. Right. I don't care if you're better than these other guys. You're going to do what I say do, though. You're going to fall in line with our protocols because nobody's bigger than the program. No one man is bigger than this program. So,
I respect.
Anyway, let's look at some other spots out there. Offensively, so running back, you got these guys coming back from injury, right? So
you just got Henry Parrish and Thad Frankens right now.
Pretty much, okay. What's up with
Cody Brown? Out there?
Yeah, Cody Brown's there. I mean, but he's just a name right now. He's
not making an impact.
Yeah,
he'll probably.
Is Cody Brown a fullback? Is that the problem?
No, he's a running back.
I don't know what I'm saying. Is he really a fullback? in a game that doesn't.
He's big. He's bigger than Thad, which I don't know why people was get on Thad about being big, but Cody Brown is bigger.
I don't think he's a fullback. I know what you mean. I don't think he's a fullback.
So you're basically saying, can we use him as that fullback reserve, as the same way we did with Najee or
yeah, like it.
Something like Trae that.
Treyon Gray. I don't think so.
He may not. I mean, he may just not have a spot then, because a lot of teams. I mean. You know, like even in the pros, there's probably what 5 teams that use a fullback. Probably like what my Niners, Ravens.
I think Cody Brown's just a big. He's just a big tan running back, pretty much. I mean,
I don't know because some of the Big Ten running backs have been, you know, Jonathan Taylor, Big Ten running back.
Yeah,
he's one of the players we was just talking about getting pushed out.
I don't see yeah,
when Knight and Chaney gets back, and then when Citizen gets here, I think that's just going to be a very situation where he just had to make the best situation for himself.
I think Citizen might be. I haven't seen him. Just a guess. Citizen might be better than him already. He's not even there yet.
Oh, I mean, yeah, there's a lot of buzz about Citizen being.
Yeah, he might be like the fifth running back right now.
Yeah, like I've been hearing buzz that he could get pushed the minute he steps on the campus. So, we got to obviously see. I do believe
we got him.
He didn't play, and I could be wrong on this. Correct me if y'all know. I don't think he played in the most competitive league down in Louisiana.
I heard that too.
If I'm not mistaken, but to my understanding, he's just gifted.
Yeah, everybody
got it. We should be looking to be a great contributor and not take that long to be that. So we'll see how that all shakes out.
Who do you think starts at running back X? Like, I hear some people saying Parrish.
I mean, I don't know. I know, you know, obviously Coach Smith likes Parrish a lot. But I know we kept saying, well, yeah, you know, Thad and Paris, boy, they come in, and it looks like they are the guys right now. But once we said that, you know, now practice Knight and Chaney look like they're working extra harder. You know what I'm saying?
But so see, Mario kind of likes those, I don't want to say bigger backs. So where does that leave Parrish? Not Parrish, Knight. And you think Knight has a chance to start under Mario?
Yeah, listen. If Knight is going to play, because Knight is what you could call, I could give him the ball out the backfield. You see the offense moved a lot better once Knight got in the game.
Right.
Because you could just do more, a lot more with Knight. So what he's going to do, what Mario going to do, what Coach Gaddis going to do, they're going to find a 1-2 punch to lean on. And you just got to be durable, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? If you're not durable, guess what? It's next man up. He going to go with who's durable.
Hey, like the GOAT says, your best ability is your availability.
Right.
Bill Belichick. That's the GOAT, not to be contested. And that's the truth. I mean, that's where it's really a business. Yeah. So once you get to the NFL, that changes, because it's like, hey, man, if you can't play, you got to go. Yeah, what it is. I don't care how good you are. If you constantly beat up, you ain't no good to me. So running back will be kind of interesting. To me, what I picture right now, I think you're going to see, I don't know, man. My best guess would be 1, 2, 3 would be Thad. Not necessarily number-wise. I'm just saying the three that I see probably getting the most reps. It's probably Thad, Henry Parrish, and Rooster.
What if unless Chaney's healthy, though?
Unless Chaney could come back in and be that difference. And then I think Thad would be the one to get pushed out. He'll be like maybe our short yardage back. It's very interesting because, yeah, the injuries. And I know with running back especially, they're probably being that much more protective, because I've had other people, you know, from like the rival fan base, like, are the boys okay? And I'm like, well, I don't know personally, but I know coaches are, you know, running backs get hit a lot, you know what I mean? So whether they running the ball or not, you know, if they ain't running, they're blocking, right? So that means they're taking a lot of impact. So I know coaches are probably going to want to protect these guys a little bit more preseason and make sure they get healed up properly. So I don't know.
Loaded, man.
I think it's pretty talented. I do. After that, I guess we can swing on over to tight ends. Obviously, a guy that I wanted to step up a lot from everything I'm hearing, he is Elijah Arroyo. The flashes I saw of him last season got me excited about the possibilities of him being just one of them guys, man, to help carry on that tradition of tight end you.
I think he might start this year. I mean, ask you out there. But like you said,
I think he might too. Yeah.
Mallory getting hurt and stuff. That was a – I know Mallory's older and everything, but Royal making plays. And he moves better than Mallory.
He you blocks think better Royals, too.
He right. Mallory – well, I saw him blocking last year. That was egregious. But, X, you think – what we've seen before Mallory got hurt, do you think Arroyo is better than Mallory right now?
He's the all-around better tight end. Mallory obviously presents a better threat with him stretching the field because, as I say, once Mallory's on the field with another tight end, now you have a tight end that can run mostly receiver routes.
What does Mallory do better than Arroyo? Because I'm trying to figure out what.
That's it, run the receiver routes.
He's about to say, yeah, probably stretch it a little
bit. Yeah, he can stretch the field a lot more because he has a longer stride. So when he gets to going, he's going. You know what I'm saying? That's his game. Mallory, but Arroyo is obviously the better overall talent. And surprisingly, man, it looks like they're going to get Jahlil Skinner involved with this offense a lot.
He's getting bigger, I think.
I guess I could say maybe it's because Mallory's out.
Right, right.
Then the other day, although Arroyo came back, but they wasn't really, you know what I'm saying, using him a lot, trying to keep him a little healthy. So, Jahlil Skinner, man, it look like they're going to use him a lot in the offense.
It seemed like he getting bigger, too, because he came in, like, real skinny. He getting a little size.
Yeah. He putting some weight on, starting to catch that ball and get hit, but still run when he get hit. So
he's our tallest tight end, right? Or Mallory still? Mallory, like, what?
Yeah, for him and Mallory, probably 6'5". Now, Morali, he's about 6'4", 6'5". Yeah, all of them around that 6'4". So the only short tight end we have is Khalil.
Brantley. Okay, yeah.
Yeah, Khalil Brantley. Yeah,
another room I think is you know, pretty talented, man. We're going to see who stick it out. Probably the room that I'm the most
concerned. I think we see some transfers at tight end, too.
Well, nah, I don't think none of them leave. I think everybody going to stay.
Yeah, about to say, because
we got five, don't we?
Hodges left, right?
Oh, Hodges left.
Hodges left. That's another name that's stuck in the transfer portal.
Right.
Oh, I forgot about Hodges.
Yeah, so without Hodges, yeah, we only got four.
Five.
Who's the fifth?
You got Mallory. You got Arroyo. You got Skinner. Arroyo. You got
Mamorelli. Mamorelli's more of a blocking tight end. He's a big dude. Put on the edge, probably. That'll be his role primarily, I can imagine. The spot where I think I'm not super concerned is our offensive line room. I think in general, so far coming out of spring, everything we've been hearing, I think the O-line room is pretty good starting. And I even say I think we're pretty good seven, maybe even eight deep. And that's all I think you really need primarily is to be – if you could be about eight deep on your O-line, I think you're looking pretty good for the season.
I say even seven.
Yeah, I think you're looking pretty good. But we have been bit by the injury bug a little bit up front, you know.
Yeah, Campbell's still not available. Rivers, they working him in here and there. Now he's not 100 yet.
Didn't he scrimmage Saturday though?
Who, Rivers?
Yeah.
But he's still not 100%. He's getting in here and there. He's still
right.
Not.
Spot okay. work. Spot yeah, work. So, getting him back reacclimated.
I think Rodriguez is not 100% either. So you're going to see some kids, some leave, but then they add because we just got Jonathan Dennis the other day.
Right.
Rumors are saying we're supposed to get this other tackle coming out of Georgia. We'll see how that goes.
What's that name? I didn't catch that one. I've been.
What's his Mims?
Yeah, Adarius Mims. He was like like top five player in the nation a year ago.
My Georgia boy. Shout out Lamar Lovelace, man. Y'all check out for all my Georgia fans or just podcast fans. They got a great show over there, man. 100 Sanford. They also on the network, man. They do a great job over there. He hit me up about that, and I was like, I hadn't heard anything yet. Just like I say, I've been, especially this weekend, super busy. Yeah, Mims will be a great pickup. Okay, I didn't even know who he was talking about at the time. I was kind of out of the loop, so that'd be a great pickup.
They're trying to bring him in. Mario basically said he's going to aggressively get the portal because we're still under the number with transfer with a scholarship limit.
Right.
And that's by three. Three or four, and that's with 85, but you know, there's no limit just yet because they still saying, man, you can get the players now,
right? So he's just on a mission to improve,
and that's including the players who might leave too.
Yeah, so I feel good, like he's aggressively attacking that portal, man, getting every position. I mean, like I said, every position besides quarterback, I felt like we needed something besides quarterback and safety. We just needed something extra, you know what I'm saying? Whether being in the portal or got something out of the recruiting class that could come in and help us immediately,
yeah.
You know, so he's doing that. I'm happy with it.
Who's your all's best portal pickup so far? I know it's not on the docket, but since we're talking about the portal,
you stick to the docket. I say you stick to the docket. You talking about from this cycle so far,
yeah.
I would have to go with Jacob. How you pronounce his last name? Yeah, him.
We haven't mentioned him for real. So he looking good out there?
Yeah, he look good. One thing he does, he blows up a play. He'll push one of them offensive linemen back and get in the backfield.
So is he? I guess we'll flip on defense real quick since you brought that up. Is he pushing for one spot on defense?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. I kind of heard a little buzz about that. I wasn't sure. That's good. I mean, again, see, he a man on the mission. He really only want to be here 1 year himself.
Right.
So he a grown man. He, 23, I think? Mm-hmm. So he's looking to get in and out. He come in on the mission. That's why you
got
to like
him. He ain't got number 1 year. He ain't got no choice.
I think he got two eligible.
I think he got two as well.
Yeah, I believe he got two. I remember hearing him on the interview. His mission is, hey, I come here to get paid, bro.
Because he redshirted, then he had the COVID year or something.
Right.
Like that.
So I think he got one more, 2 years left. But well, that's good to hear. X, who would you predict right now as a left to right O line? Because I heard some smoke about the center position. With the Oregon transfer as well.
As of now, I would say Zion, Rivers, Clark. The Oregon transfer name is what? Lugo?
Yeah, Logan something.
Logan something like that?
Luopoli, I think.
Luopoli, him.
Yeah.
And then Scaife.
Okay. So you think he is going to take the right guard spot?
Yeah. But that's where once Jonathan Dennis comes, and then if we do get Mims, things start to get tricky.
Shaking up a lot more.
You know what I'm saying? Because I think they end up moving Scaife back on the inside at either guard position. Then, you know, they could switch with the center. It's just so much competition where you just have to say, hey, man, it's either you going to beat your man out or, you know, you just be second unit.
See? The only thing I don't like about that is Scaife just likes the outside better. That's just what he just does better.
I didn't like him on the inside.
Yeah, it's just I don't know what it is. He just feels better playing on the outside. So we'll see. Yeah, that ought to be very interesting to see how that.
How does McLaughlin look? I was high on him because
the offensive line has looked a whole lot better. He looked a whole lot better. I'm looking forward to the spring because now everything is full go.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Ain't no whistle because
right.
That was messed up, man. It's full go. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's almost game mode. You know what I'm saying? So that's when you can really tell if the offensive line or defensive line is a lot better.
And that's why I said I don't have a lot of concern. I think we're pretty good, seven deep. I was just, like I said, Zion was, you know, a little banged up coming into last year. He did play the majority of the games, or didn't really get messed up.
Who's your extra two, man?
Well, see, that kind of depends, like you're saying, on
who starts,
who transfers in.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
whoever transfers in, I think the two that get pushed makes us even better into like an 8 deep. See what I'm saying? Like,
I got you.
We kind of got to wait a little bit just to see who all ends up on campus. And because, yeah, like I heard the Logan Sagapolo kid was pushing some at center and guard. You bring Jalen Rivers back in. So I think Jalen's got left guard locked up pretty well. But then Skate gets a little tricky because, yeah, he's doing well on the outside at right. But if we bring in Mims, I think we're going to be fine on the O-line, ultimately. I actually do. The thing is like you asked about McLaughlin. I think McLaughlin is a future left tackle. But this is a very developmental position, and I think it just needs – you know, we don't want a Zion situation again, right? Obviously. I mean, Zion's gotten better and better every single year. But I don't want McLaughlin going out there playing left tackle if Zion get hurt.
Right. You know, I knew when we got him, he'll be like a 2-year project.
And that's what O-line's supposed to be.
Right.
O-line's supposed to be a 2 to 3 year. Honestly, you bring
in like you just one of them special.
Yeah, you got to be like, right. I mean, Eric Flowers came in early. He was just he was a specimen, though. He came in like he didn't carry bad body weight, huge wingspan,
athletic,
yeah,
strong, yeah, like, yeah, yeah, yeah. He was a specimen. You're right,
very, yeah. And that's just, but that's not what you look to build your trenches with. I mean, if you can get them, don't get me wrong, but it's hard to get a bunch of them. You're gonna have to get a few more guys. That's gonna take a couple of years to get the weight up and get the technique down, especially the technique. Technique is so crucial at that spot. So let's see. We're in the O-line. We need to talk QB. We don't really need to talk QB. Other than to say, how's Jacquerie looked out there, X? I've heard some good things. So how's he looking in general to you?
He at first it looked like he was struggling to throw the ball. Connect on his accuracy, but he's gotten a whole lot better. Now he's looking like he belongs out there with the other two guys.
That's what's up. Yeah, I had heard that he's starting to make some throws out there that look fairly impressive, getting a little more composure. Looking to be a guy that I think the fans are going to be excited about pretty soon. I think the fans are going to be like, let's say TBD has the year that that we think he's going to have and he goes to the league. I think Jacquerie going to automatically start having people talking about he should start over Garcia. And that's what I've been hearing. Like, he's going to be, if he continues his trajectory and they keep polishing him up, he's going to end up a guy that, you know, and remember, fans, we in general, this always confuses me like hell, like especially at college level. Boy, we love the new shiny toy. You be forgetting all about the guy that you brought in and developed because you see a spark from, look at this guy. It's like, bro, wait, but if you're running your program right, Jake Garcia's next. That's what you want. You want Jake Garcia next. And then you want him to be followed by Jacquerie Brown. And then whoever else we bring in this class, that's how you want your quarterback room set up. You do not want it to be taken over by a bunch of freshmen. It's just not.
I mean, it's just, unless he's just that guy like that. But still, even if he's that guy, you want to say, well, at least we develop guys who can, like, at least give him a year to watch. You know what I'm saying? So,
right, right.
Yeah, Jacquerie, he's looking a whole lot better. Out there throwing the ball, especially that, you know, obviously we know he could run the ball, but throwing the ball, he just looks a lot better. It's TBD. He's one. Jake's two. Then Jacquerie's three. Jake still has room to get better. He's still doing things as freshman quarterbacks tend to do. You know what I'm saying? It's as far as decision making and stuff like that. But he's working out and getting better too. So.
Yeah, I heard it's like no competition with that. Like TBD was throwing. There was a poster.
I mean, I don't know why people kept acting like it was a quarterback competition. Like TBD was the guy regardless. Like that just was a no.
Mario pretty much said that day one on the gig.
As soon as he got it, he said, man, TBD the best once he made that statement.
Like, best in the country. Right. That's what he said.
There was a dude at the scrimmage Saturday. He said TBD was just out there dealing like third and longs. Said Mario had called back a third and long or something. TBD threw another strike, Roy or something. He said, "Yeah, TBD just looked like he dealing. He ready." Nah,
TBD, he's the man. I don't even know what more to say because I kept explaining to everybody how good he was. You know, he does what he does, and then people still questioning the fact should he start? Like what? Okay, well, I mean, I don't know if I should discuss football with you if you're saying, should he start? So,
like I said, too many people just get a little bit of that new toy. I want this one. Nah, man, chill out. This one has already been built up to the next level. It's just like, hell, if you play the game, you develop the guys up in the video game, damn it.
Quick vice break. Don't go nowhere. We'll be back before you know it.
Right, we back with it. Quick little break right there. So we actually decided to do, we're going to give you guys the defense preview a little closer to the spring game because it'll be a little more clarity. Right now it is a bit muddled up as about who's the ones, twos, et cetera, right now at defense. I mean, we know obviously like with the safeties, how that's probably going to shake out or whatnot, but the D-line's a little bit more of a question mark, linebackers as well. So as we get a little closer, we'll have a little more insight on that. So we're gonna go ahead and switch on over, man. It's a little bit of timeline buzz, man. I missed it. So Meez, you probably can help me out with this one. But what was going on, man? We talk about receivers. How that start?
Where we at? All right, so Florida, I forgot who tweeted out, but Florida had a video of the receivers doing drills and it looked like god awful, right? And so I was at work, and I just happened to jump on the timeline as soon as it was going down. So Silk, shout out to Silk. He tweeted, what did he say? He tweeted, our receivers are trash. But then he said, so is Miami's and FSU. So he had to throw in the other schools. And, you know how that goes.
Get the
thriving. Right, he threw the other schools in. You know how Silk get down and whatever.
Yeah.
So then I started a little ruckus or whatever. So X got in it, this and that. Everybody was in. Everybody said a little 2 cents about it. So then my man, everybody was like, "Nah, Miami receivers ain't like that, this and that." So then my man Silk come in and say, "Aren't y'all the same fans?" Or is it? Well, he say is. Is Bandy still better than...
No. So it is what it is. We was talking about receivers. I don't even know why Bandy...
How the fuck we get over... Yeah.
He went and
found... I don't know what time it was when he did that.
He went and found a tweet I tweeted from 2018. I said, well, damn. Like, you went to 2018, but we talk about receivers, but...
Today. And you went to 2018? Boo.
Yes, sir. I laughed at it. Then I guess he was like, oh, you the one said... Banda was better than Hindu, and when I tweeted that, I was like, Banda was having a better season because Hindu was getting beat a lot, which he did get beat that year a lot. So that was why I tweeted that. But he went and found a 2018 tweet opposed to a 2022 tweet. Like once he did I just knew he lost the battle already.
Not talking about wide receivers, but he went.
Yeah, and we not even talk about wide receivers no more. What are you doing?
Like, yeah, okay, just let him tweet. Let him tweet through his pain, man. It's cool.
Full of shit. Ain't no way in hell he think our wide receivers trash. Yeah, nobody thinks that. Nobody thinks our wide receivers trash. That's bullshit.
The funniest thing is, the video was all over the timeline, so he could have just stuck with it. Like, yeah, damn, our receivers trash. And that's it. Like, let it off.
Yeah, don't bring us into this shit. And it's just not true. I'm going to bring that shit up on the show.
Florida fans was tweeting, too. They was like, that drill, the way they looked in that drill, it just looked like god awful.
That drill was almost as worse as that Urban Lane drill that happened a couple years.
That's where the Urban Lane thing came into it, Larry.
I saw the Urban video. And see, the reason I didn't dig deep into it is I thought it was just Florida – versus Florida State. So I was like, oh, I don't give a fuck about that ghetto ass shit they got going over there. Like, so I didn't look no further into it. And I didn't know Silk said that shit. I'm calling him out on the show for that shit. Ain't no way in hell. No fucking way in hell you think our wide receiver's trash. The fuck out of here.
Yeah, so that was just the funny thing because he just started pulling tweets from year. Like, I'm like, damn, we talking about receivers.
That shit was hilarious, man. I was at work dying. I was like, here comes Silk. I already knew what time it was.
Yeah, I'm going to call that a
playing field.
I'm going to call that an L. An unbiased call. That's my man's. You my man's. That's an L, Silk. You went 3 years back, 4 years back, and you went on the wrong side of the ball? What the fuck?
Yeah, right.
Because I saw Hendo and Bandy, so I had to, like, click on the tweet and, like, scroll up. I'm like, wait a minute. Like, how this shit got on? Yeah. Right.
That's what I was trying to figure out, but I guess I don't know.
That's a reach. That's when you ain't got nothing. You're like, shit, let me see what he said crazy one time. It's 4 years ago. Some kind of shit in context. Because somebody pulled one of my tweets up the other day, and I retweeted it with the little dude saying, oh, man. I was like, yeah, you really got me. I was like, bro, that ain't shit. Like, you ain't catch me on nothing. It's crazy. I said something lightweight, and it's like, ooh. You really got me with that one, buddy.
I ain't never going back that far. That was crazy.
Yeah, I don't got that much time in my day to be searching. No,
how do you do that, though? You just type in.
I don't know.
I could type your name, and then, like, I could type at Turnpike Easy and Hendo, and every tweet that you ever wrote with that will pop up. So I do that for my own tweets every once in a while just to see. Sometimes I be wanting to see how consistent I've been. Sometimes I want to see how my energy changed. So I might search at Larian and Wale. And I'm like, let me see like how my energy been on. He's one of my favorite MCs.
Okay.
And I'm like, nah, I kind of always was with it, you know.
Man, but that's random. Like, what the hell Banda and Hindu came out
with? Oh, no, I had nothing to do with nothing. I agree.
You know what's funny? What I took from that though, I was like, he never forgot that though. Cause for him to think about that, he never forgot he tweeted that.
Some shit stick with you. Some shit stick with you.
I ain't going back no 8, 4, 5 years. I don't got the time. I don't even know how to do it. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it is a shit.
If it ain't on my timeline, I don't recognize it, but
right. I barely read my timeline.
You got that time, man. If you got that time, that's on you, man. I just don't got it.
But that was crazy. Yeah, I saw that. That's dope. Real quick, we want to give a shout out to the baseball team, ranked in the top 10. They've been having a hell of a year so far.
Yeah, they got a game today against the number 3 Virginia. They're going for the weekend sweep today.
Yeah, we beat them yesterday. Hey, do y'all think, speaking of that baseball team, the way Miami basketball, the sports have changed ever since we hired the new AD. Do y'all think these coaches were like, oh, we got to tighten up, or – this is just like random.
You talking about how the basketball team kind
of the baseball team, because there was a lot of fans baseball team coach fired last year.
Yeah, I think so. I think it was part of them, like, all right, man, they're gonna be looking at us in a minute. So yeah, I think it's part of that, yeah.
Because Miami baseball part of top it was 10 like, right
we
now.
Gotta, we gotta get this shit together, Bubba.
I mean, like I said, me and Streeter said on the show the other day, it basically was, man, the staff, the players saying, yo, the school is serious about sports. They're serious about spending money. So if we do our part, they'll do their part. You know what I'm saying? And that's all it's always been. Like,
head coaches might be like, oh, this is my ass if I don't get it together.
You know, we're like, man, okay, if we could be mediocre without getting fired, we'll do that because they don't care. We can't do that now because they'll fire us. You know what I'm saying? So I want my job. Let's go do our job. You know what I'm saying? They're going to give us the resources we need to get better. And that's what they're doing.
And I think, you know, real quick point, I think interestingly enough, I think Miami could be a destination basketball school, man, especially in today's market where you get so many kids that play overseas or, you know, do one and dones at college at this level. I think the right coach, if he tries to kind of build a bit more of a program where you're getting guys at maybe a tad bit more developmental, guys that you probably could have for 3 years, and end up being some, you know, you get a good developer. I think we could be. It'd be interesting to see.
Larry Nigga can recruit. I'll give him that.
Like, what he you call him?
Larry Nigga.
Sound like you saying Larry Nigga.
Nah.
Larry Nigga.
Now Larry Nigga can recruit though, because like I'm up here.
This boy, Larry Nigga.
I'm up here down the street from DC, and like I know he got like he ended up transferring, but I forget Chris Lights from DC. Mm-hmm. Went and got what's a five star who's played for the Spurs right now with the dreads? It was like a couple years.
Cut him off. You talking about he from down south? I think though. Any
No, he from up here.
Oh, Lonnie Walker.
I think Lonnie Walker is from DC.
Okay, he might be. I'm not sure. I probably said he was from down here because of the locks he had.
He's from Pennsylvania, matter of fact.
Okay, so he is from up north.
But that was a five star. Yeah.
When I saw the locks, I was just thinking like Opa-locka, Carroll City. But that's what's up.
So he can Larry Nick can recruit. He got a little vast band.
Let's call him Coach L, bro.
Coach L, yeah.
Coach L, you sound egregious.
Coach L.
You sound wild right now.
I don't know how much longer he got at Miami due to his age.
He's an old head too, so he may be moving on. All right, well, let's see. Real quick, we're going to get y'all a quick culture corner, man. So it was a story on the timeline. My man got totally ramshacked, man. He had a house full of sneakers, because this dude it looked like, I can't even put a number on it, but they tore this place up. And it looks like he's got at least hundreds of pairs of sneakers, right? I don't even know, because a lot of the boxes don't even look the same. Like, he might just be a legit collector. I don't know if he's one of them people that, you know, do the bots or whatever. But, he got his place, the door kicked in. And what they got him for, though, was a lot of sneakers. And bigger than that, man, they hit that boy for a stash, a new stash in the streets, man. They hit him for his French Bulldogs, bro. That's all he even asked for back. Ain't that crazy though? Like how bullies became
within the last year and a half.
Yeah. But it's good because that's legal. So I'm much rather you sell bullies and, you know, French Bulldogs, whatever to make, you know, have you mix them up. I'd much rather you do that than to be out here selling dope, man. But that's all.
How'd that even happen though? Like, who started that with the bullies?
Bullies became a status symbol because they're expensive. So that's what it really is. Like,
why are they so expensive though?
Well, one big reason that they're expensive is, one, they're popular, obviously. And then two, they are a dog that all those bulldogs, like even English bulldogs with big ass heads, they have to have C-sections. Or you don't have to, but it's a way higher chance of losing the mother and the puppies if you don't get a C-section. So that's a part of the cost.
I never heard that. I don't know nothing about dogs.
Yeah. If y'all heard me on the roller, I'm a nature geek. So I know all about the animals and whatnot. So yeah.
He got a cat, y'all.
Them bullies became real popular. And then now you got the little small bullies. Where you definitely got to have a C-section for them. It's a fag going around. Those are the popular dogs now. You know, remember the Rottweilers used to be popular, and then mm-hmm. German Shepherd. Then you had Pit Bulls. So each dog.
It's just trends, like, yeah. Trends, that's all, man. So, the bully, shout out to my man. I want you to know, brother, you ain't never seeing them dogs again.
that's it. They gone.
I don't even know what he asked for that for. You ain't got shoes back.
Yeah, he ain't getting them back. Them dogs probably off. The dude who's took them dogs gone already. Off of him too. So
So he might be trying to breed them. They was puppies.
That's exactly what he gonna do. He gonna breed them and sell them.
Man, that made more money. He wants somebody to snitch. But ain't nobody going to tell, because you done lost them dogs. Charge it to the game. It's part of the game, you know. That's why I say they the new dope, because people will pull a kick dope out puppies now. They'll kick your door down, bro.
Mask How many up, dogs was it?
It was two puppies that he got in the picture. And they were little, though. They were like small French bulldogs. Very, very little. Probably, I would guess they were probably at 3 months, something like that. It's funny too, because I saw another video one time, and somebody came to steal these people dogs, and they tried. As I'm telling you, dog, they masked up, ran up to them people crib, went to pull the kick though, but the people was like, I guess they was up and alert, cause they was busting at them people. She was one, the girl and the dude. The girl was like over the top of like a green charger, letting them rip. Wah, 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 wah. Trying to tear them boys' head off, get them over them dog. I'm telling you. So if you got them kind of dogs, man, be careful.
Yeah, now my cousin, somebody went in my cousin yard and stole two of his dogs. And then when we end up finding where the dogs was at, approach a dude, and the dude was like, man, I ain't steal no dogs. Them dogs, they walked to my house. And we like, how the hell the dog walked?
How y'all ended up finding the dogs, though?
A dude that know my cousin say, man, he rode because he drives the dumpster truck. So he say he rode by and then he recognized the dog. He like, damn, that look like my, you know what I'm saying, my homeboy dog. And he hit him and I'm like, hey, man, did you ever find your dog? And he like, nah. And then, you know, told him exactly where the dog was. But what happened was by the time we found out, the people had came and got the dogs, and then they say somebody adopted them, and I was like, oh, that's crazy. But
yeah, man,
yeah, well, that story, if you got that many shoes like that in the house and
them dogs,
yeah, you gotta have an alarm system or something. I mean,
come on. Probably did, but that's what I'm saying.
When you know, people be slipping, man, they get comfortable. Somebody knew him. Somebody knew that stuff was there.
He's like a person that puts all this stuff on Instagram and whatnot. I'm telling you, that's just, let that be a warning to you, man. Keep your stuff private, bro. Quit showing everybody what you're doing.
I think most leaks happen because of social media.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Somebody might be like, I know what cuz that. Yeah, he lived four houses down from you. Oh, word? You know what I'm saying? And like I said, them dogs are the new dope. I can make a lot of money off of these, bro. And I ain't doing nothing illegal if I just get the dog off of you. Once I steal it from you, nah, I just breed them, sell them. Boom, no police.
Yeah, you came up.
Yeah, no police straight knocking profit, on my yeah. door. No surveillance. So just as a cautionary tale, keep your private life private. Quit putting everything out there. And you know, just don't let everybody know your moves, man. Don't let everybody know how you moving and shaking out here. And also to those who trying to steal the dogs, careful, you might get your head knocked off.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's a dangerous game you playing, bro. I tell people, anytime you cross a man's threshold uninvited, you playing a dangerous game, my boy. That could definitely end up in death.
So, yeah. Cause I, you know, my trigger finger going, it's going.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm gonna let it rip.
I feel uncomfortable. I feel unsafe. I'm letting it loose. So
in my house, yeah, I gotta let them rip, man. You gonna feel me? But speaking of death, want to close the show out. We'll make sure we pay tribute to the homie Dwayne Haskins, who unfortunately lost his life yesterday. This is Sunday we're recording. He lost his life yesterday in South Florida. We don't have all the details as of yet. Doesn't really matter though, because the young man is gone. He's not coming back. He was hit by a vehicle, is all we know as of right now. So prayers and condolences, positive energy, whatever you particularly believe in to the Haskins family. I think
the detail is kind of out. He ran out of gas on the side of the interstate. So he ran out of gas. And I saw two separate things. One say he tried
I seen two different stories.
He tried to go across the interstate. And I saw another one. He was like basically just like going around to the back end of his car. He got clipped by a dump truck.
I heard one where he walked in front of the dump truck like a suicide thing. So I'll wait, you know, before we get in. You know, we'll see. Some more details will come from the story a little bit later on. Like I said, more importantly, we just want to make sure we, you know, one way or the other, no matter what happened, if it was a suicide, if it was a vehicular homicide on, you know, whatever happened, it's a sad loss of
life is short, man. That was crazy.
Cherish your moments, man. Cherish your moments. Cherish your people. Time is the real currency. That's all we got. You don't know when it's going to be gone. So cherish it. Use it wisely. And keep positive people and positive things in your life. Eliminate all the negative. If it ain't helping you, it's hurting you. It's that simple.
Yeah.
Anything you got to examine. If it ain't helping, is hurting, man.
Man, one thing I took from that too, about just enjoying life, like there's so many ways in this world you can go out. You know what I mean? Like accidental ways, like just walking out your house, you could like slip and fall, hit your head and be out. Mm-hmm. Like it's so many different ways, man. Like
you just, like so you said, enjoy the moments.
Yeah, man. Tell your loved ones you love them. You know what I'm saying? Much as you can.
Yeah.
Yeah. Life is like, life is crazy, man. Ain't no,
we all get out of, ain't none of us getting out alive, man.
Right.
Cherish the moments, man. But we're going to get on out of here, man. We appreciate y'all rocking with us. Like I said, we'll be back. We may do two shows next week. Not exactly sure. It might be a little difficult to pull off, but we will give you guys a show previous to the spring game. And if at all possible, we'll probably try to do a spring game recap afterwards. So we'll see how that all pans out. But, oh, motherfucker. My bad. My cat bit the shit out of me.
I have a quick question about your cat. What you be feeding your cat, Larry?
Blue Buffalo, Wilderness, whatever. What's only that? The best. The top shelf.
Like catnip?
Cat food. Nah, catnip is like weed. It's kind of like cats like it, but like my cat not responsive to it, actually. Some cats are, most cats are. Mine isn't, though. But I've seen cats, you can sprinkle some catnip on the floor. They'll roll around, bro. They be so high. They just be loving life. My cat don't give a shit about catnip. But nah, she eat on Blue Buffalo. That's the best you could get for.
You ever get a cat real food? Like,
nah, she don't like real food. She does not care for, like, I try to give her a shrimp, piece of chicken. She don't care about none of that.
You got an alley cat.
She it was not as funny. She came from outside. And previous to her living with me, she would eat like more street food stuff from people. But yeah, now that she's been with me, she only eat cat food.
That's real.
That's what it is. But anyways, yeah, get out of here, man. We appreciate y'all. Appreciate the love. Spread the love. Tell a friend to tell a friend. And we'll continue to coming back to you guys every week. And you know, when we can, twice a week. You know, we'll give you as much content as we can as the information comes out. Do remember, man, we got real street general over here. We got real people that's actually out there. We ain't just people talking from you know, that third party perspective. We got first party perspective, though. So, yeah, love is love. Appreciate y'all. We'll catch y'all next time.
Peace.
Y'all. Later.
We gonna let the band deal with this.
It's 26 degrees.